Remember to put legs on your faith. We pray for our country, and evermore it needs it. But I have to tell you something, folks. We need to put legs on it, and don't stand around and complain about the devil taking over the country if you don't go vote. Ever how you're going to vote. But when you do go vote, maybe you could take your Bible with you. And remember, you know, that God is able to guide you and direct you in all that He does. After the Depression, my grandmother was so glad to have a Bible. Her old Bible had fallen apart. She had sewn it together and done everything, thank you so much, and done everything she could for it, and it was just falling apart. And Uncle Ansel got on at the CCC camp, and the first thing he did was buy Grandma a Bible. Well, she had to go to court a few weeks after that. She told me, she said, I was just so proud to hold up my new Bible. They wanted to know if she'd swear, and she told them no, she wouldn't swear. But she'd hold her Bible for the truth. She said, and I had a new Bible, and said, Mr. Dillo and some of the lawyers got a hold of it and forgot their case and argued a point in Scripture. So that's good if we got lawyers know enough about the Bible to argue it. Amen? Amen. All right. Reading today from 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 24 through 27. And the title of the message is, For What? We'll see what that means in a minute. Let's look at it, folks. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that you may obtain. Know ye not, and every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air. But I keep under my body and bring it under subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Praise be unto God for the reading and the hearing from 1 Corinthians. In the days that Paul lived in, particularly if you were in the Greek world, athletics was a big deal. Now, I don't want you to misconstrue this message today in any way to think that I'm against or the church is against sports activity. When I got saved and got in the Holiness Church, we couldn't participate in anything like that, but that was just a little bit on the narrow side, to tell you the truth. Nothing wrong with being human, nothing wrong with having fun, nothing wrong with fulfilling your life, just don't let it consume you. But sometimes you think sports is going to consume everything. The newspapers and the television and the radio, and takes up all the time that's on there. And in Paul's time, it was the same way. In fact, they had two Super Bowls in Paul's time. You say, really? Yes. One of them's name you'll be familiar with, and that name is Olympia. It was the Olympic Games, and every 3 years they had the Olympic Games in the northern part of Greece and carried the torch just like they do today, all those things. And people came from far and near by the hundreds and, yes, thousands to the Olympic Games. And you say, well, what happened on the other 2 years? Well, then in the south of Greece, there was Corinth. And Corinth sits on an isthmus, just a little narrow neck of land connecting one part of the country to the other. And as it said on there, they had these games on the off year from the Olympic Games, and they were called the Isthmian Games. And the greatest part of those games was to run, and to wrestle and to box. Those were the great sports. They didn't have all the things that we have today, but they had wonderful athletes. You can see their pictures. You say they didn't have any cameras back then. No, but they had some good artists along the way that drew pictures of them on pottery and all kinds of places and put their figures there. Well, the Isthmian Games is what he's talking to the Corinthians about because it was held in their city. So when he writes a letter to the Corinthian church, they understand what he's talking about completely because they live right in the middle of it. And it's happening all around them. And he's talking to them about the Christian life. You know, it's a wonderful thing that God saves us. It's a wonderful thing that he gives us life and more abundantly. On the other hand, he requires of us or asks us to live a life afterwards that's suitable to what he's done for us. Now, I don't think it's possible for us to ever live up to the gift of God's salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ on Calvary's cross. I don't think we can ever catch up with that, but we can try. And what he has asked us to do is to gauge our lives and live our lives in such a way that our lives glorify him and our lives look like him, that we put on the Lord Jesus Christ, he says, and our lives look like him. And he compares our living the Christian life to an athlete being in the Isthmian Games. And he says, we run. In fact, he wants you to run. He said, we run and we fight and we sometimes beat the air. And we'll talk about that in just a minute. So when we look at it, we find out that there's a lot going on here. When we talk about running, mostly they did not have cross-country running. They had just a short distance run, but they trained and they trained and they trained. 10 months prior to the times of these games, these athletes did nothing but train. 10 months they did nothing but prepare for the run that they were going to make. And then in the last month was so intensive, they didn't go home or anything. They gave everything they had to the game. Now, he's saying that the Christian life, living the Christian life, is like running, not the marathon, but running the dash, and we have to prepare for it. You don't just wake up one morning and be a champion runner. You don't just wake up one morning and be a champion boxer or the champion wrestler. You get up one morning and you start training. And these people trained. As I said, they trained what they ate, they trained how they rested, and they did their exercises, and they practiced their running. Now, as we live the Christian life, my friends, God saves us, redeems us from among men, pays the price for us. Then, sadly, you're still in the old man. You're still in this body, this flesh, and you have to deal with it. I have to deal with it. We all have to deal with it. None of us are perfect. We just mark that down right away. None of us are perfect. Along the way, we have made shortcomings and we have come short of his glory. But every athlete goes through that. No athlete is perfect. No athlete comes out running perfect, doing even the most gifted ones, ones that have the most opportunity. Do not do that. And so when we look at this, we talk about running. It says they run in a race. Everybody's running. Everybody, all of us Christians, we're all in a race. Now let me mark something down, and God knows religious people need to get this in their head. We're not running in competition. I'm not trying to outrun you, and you're not trying to outrun me. This church is not trying to outrun any other church, and if any other church is trying to outrun us, they've probably got it down cold. They can just run right on. You know what I'm saying? We're not in competition. We're on the same team. All the Christians here and everywhere else, we're on the same team and we're running together. But let me tell you, everybody that's running don't make it. Everybody that's running don't get to the end and get it. Because you see, he says, and this word only occurs twice in the Bible, and both of them in Paul's writing in the New Testament, the word prize. I noticed in the civil rights movement, they have a spiritual out of it, and they sing it as they march in the street, keep your eye on the prize, keep your eye on the prize. And people keep talking about it. My brothers and sisters, how many have ever plowed with a plow? I don't guess many of you have with a horse, but behind a tractor or something. Let me tell you something. You start plowing here, that's wonderful. And your goal is over yonder, that's wonderful. But let me tell you, if you don't keep your eye on that goal over there, you won't make it. If you look somewhere else and you've got your eye, if you don't believe it when you're driving down the road, my friend, you take your eyes off the road for a second and your car goes that direction. Same way with plowing. When you're plowing and you take your eye off the furrow ahead of you and the goal of where you're going, right away, my friend, you're going crooked. And you can tell somebody that's been looking away when they've been plowing. That don't amount to too much plowing unless you have to gauge what you're raising. But in life, that far off is a long way off, my friend. So what's he saying? He's saying as Christians, we're in a race and we're all running. One receiveth the prize. Not one person, but one group of people receives the prize. You know who that is? Ones that finish. Let me tell you what else. You can't finish until you what? Start. If you're not in the race, there's no way in the world you can win. If you're not in the Christian run, there's no way in the world you can make it, because you can't get there from no place. You've got to run the race to make it. We sing sometimes life's railway to heaven, and we sing we must make this run successful from the cradle to the grave. My friend, that's exactly what we got to do. We have to do that. And we fight. We wrestle. And Paul goes into details of that in some other places. And he says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against powers, principalities, spiritual wickedness in high places, all those things that we're wrestling against. Now, let me tell you something about wrestling, folks. Running, you get out there and you go. Wrestling, the whole wrestling match can happen right here in this one little place. The whole wrestling match can happen. And let me tell you about yourself. You can't wrestle the devil and win with the devil over there and you over here. You remember about David when he fought Goliath? He didn't stand at the other end of the valley and holler at him. He ran at the giant with his slingshot and he killed him. And brothers and sisters, as you look at this wrestling match that's there, if the devil is going to wrestle you, and let me tell you, he will, and he's not too good to put his hands on you. You may draw back from putting your hands on him, but Satan is not too good to put his hands on you. He'll get a full Nelson on you and choke you and pull you down to the floor in a minute, because that's exactly what he's aiming to do. And Satan is wrestling for your eternal soul and its eternal destiny, my friends. And so when we look at this, we're not only running in a race, but we're fighting in a fight. And it's the fight of our life. And it's the fight for our life. And here we go. We're wrestling. Cheek to cheek and shoulder to shoulder and leg to leg and sweating. And you're going to smell the devil and you're going to feel the devil and everything as he wrestles against you. So, my friend, you have to be in good shape. Don't go to the battle without being prepared. Don't go to the battle without training. Without doing that. And the last thing is, he said, and I fight not as one that beateth the air. It's called shadow boxing. And you've seen people do it. Fred Sanford does it all the time. You've seen people do it, and they're fighting the air. All they're doing is fighting the air. What good does it do for me to do that? You say, well, it shows the devil where it's at, but it don't inflict any harm on him. How about that? How about connecting with him? How about hitting him so hard that he has to fall to the ground and can't get up? You see, brothers and sisters, we're running to win. We're wrestling to win. We're boxing to win. We're not doing it for the fun of it. We're not doing it for the game of it. We're doing it because it's life and death, it's time and eternity, and we're there to get the job done. Now, as I said, you can't just expect to go out and win the battle, fight the devil and do all of that, and not make any contact with him, and not do anything, and not train. He said you have to, strive for the mastery. You have to master your art of fighting. We used to have a lady that came here from Williamson and worked in the services and stayed a lot of times here, just stayed for a long time, and went out in the revivals and worked. And she had been sort of semi-famous, I guess, in country music over in West Virginia and up on WW, whatever it is, up in Wheeling, West Virginia. But Sister James used to come here. And she would say, I studies to fight. You have to do that, my friend. Don't let the devil take the upper hand on you. Don't let him come in and just grab you and run with you. Let me tell you how it is. You have to train. You have to strive for the mastery. Satan, come on, here I am. I'm ready for you. I've been working. I've been striving. I've been struggling. And I'm ready for you. You see, you have to discipline your body. Now, there's a word that's not very popular in our day and time. It's discipline. We don't like to talk about doing it to children. We certainly don't like to do it to ourselves. But the old churches, the Methodist Church, and one day somebody came to church down here to sing at the old church, and they brought me a book from the Pentecostal Holiness Church. In those days, they called it the discipline. The old people pronounced the word discipline instead of discipline. And it was the discipline of the church. And they handed me the discipline of the Pentecostal Holiness Church, 1929, and said, now you can't keep this, Eddie, but you can give it back to us at the end of the service, but you can look at it while you're looking. Well, I fortunately can read very fast, and I devoured the book. And they said, what do you think, when it got to the end? I said, nobody in this church could get in that church. The discipline was so strict, so straight, and so narrow that nobody in this church could get in that church. It was right on the money for what you were doing. So you see, my friend, you have to keep your body under, he says. Athletes do not let their body run them. They run their bodies. Athletes do not let the bodies, their body, just go to pot. You're not going to win if you just go out and eat everything there is to eat. You're not going to win if you just get up and say, well, I don't know, it's late this morning. I think I'll just sleep in. I'm not going to get out and run. I'm not going to get out and box. I'm not going to get out and wrestle. I don't really need to practice. I'll just get up there and do it and hope the Lord helps me. It won't work that way, folks. It won't work at all. We must train for the mastery. We must train to be champions and train to be right. And my friend, that means your body has to, you have to tell it what to do, and you have to command it what to do. The thing of it is, you have to keep your eye on the prize. Never forget what you're doing. Never forget what your mission is. Never forget what's bearing down on you and pushing down on you that you need to do. The prize is up here at the end of the way. And my friend, Granny Effie used to preach, and she'd say, any old thing can start and any old thing can stop, but it takes a genuine to go through. We used to sing an old hymn, And the old hymn said, I am determined to hold out to the end. Brothers and sisters, That's exactly what we have to do. We have to make up our mind that we're going to fight this thing to the end. We're going to live this thing to the best of our ability. We're going to cast away everything that's not like God. And I'm going to keep my eye on the goal. My goal is to have an eternity in heaven. My goal is that when Jesus comes or calls, and by the way, that could be any day now. And when Jesus comes, my friend, my whole goal is to be ready to meet the Lord in peace. When the trumpet sounds and the heavens roll back and the clouds part and the Son of God appears on the steps of glory, my friend, I want to be ready to go right then, right there. And I'll tell you a little something, and it's not a secret, but it's the truth. If you're not ready at that moment, you don't have no more time. It's over. My friend, you need to do that. So the thing we have to do is to keep our eye on the prize. And it's hard to think this. As much as I preach the security of the believer, as much as I believe that God didn't save you to lose you, I have to tell you something. Paul said, I keep my body under. I learn to run. I learn to fight. I learn to box and not shadow box. Why? How? For what? Lest what? I, myself, should become a castaway. Lest I, having preached to others, should myself become a castaway. My friend, if it was not possible for the Apostle Paul to have become a castaway, why would he have said this? Why would this be in the Bible? Why would God have allowed that to be in there if it were not possible to be a castaway? My friend, it is possible for Eddie Kendall to fail God. I don't want to do that. Whatever else happens in my life, my car can fail. My business can fail. I won't like it. I won't like it a bit. But I can tell you, my friend, I don't want to fail God. I can't afford to fail God. And I have to go on. I do not want to become a castaway. And you say, well, the whole message today was for what? Yeah, it is. How much money do you think is spent on sports every year in America? How many billions, not millions, billions of dollars are spent? People fight and scratch and dig and train and work for what? For a crown that's corruptible. For a little trophy that you can sit up on a table and look at. For a few dollars, a few million dollars sometimes, by the way, a few million dollars. And when we look at that, we say, oh my, that's wonderful, that's wonderful. Let me tell you something. When old brother McCormick up at Princeton used to say, when the death damp is on your brow and the death rattle is in your throat, will you be ready to meet the Lord when he comes? Let me tell you, my friend, when that moment happens and Jesus comes or Jesus calls, my friend, what will the trophies of this world have mattered? What will all that you've accumulated of this world matter? I can tell you, half the stuff that you got in your house that's a treasure to you, somebody else is going to put in a yard sale and get shed of it. You know it? I had two men who were connoisseurs of antiques, and they both came to me and they said, now, Eddie, when we die, we don't want to see a tent put in the front yard of our house and all of our stuff and collections sold at auction. You know what happened? Both of them had a tent set in the front yard and all their collection of antiques and crystal and porcelain and all that they had collected through the years. It all was auctioned off in their front yards like they didn't want it to be. You say, why didn't you do something? They were telling the wrong person when they told me. Should have told their lawyer. Should have told her children, should have told her sisters or brothers or somebody. Don't tell me about it. I'm just a country preacher and undertaker. I can't do anything about that. But you see, my friend, all that we would crown ourselves with. Now, this Isthmian Games that they had at Corinth and the Olympic Games they had up at Mount Olympia. Do you know what the champions got? Do you know what they got? Have you ever looked at a picture of the ancient Greeks and Romans in their games? They got an evergreen wreath around their head, similar to a Christmas wreath. They plaited a wreath around their head and they placed it on their head, and all they got out of it was the satisfaction of knowing they won. Their crown was a corruptible crown. How long do you think that little evergreen wreath around their head is going to last? You talk about a corruptible crown. You talk about something that didn't matter anything. They trained 10 months intensively, hard as they could before the game, and 1 month real dramatically right at time for the games, so that they would be ready to do it. And yet when they finished it, all they got out of it was sometimes laurel, sometimes made out of other evergreen that they put around their head. And that's all they got. When the day was over, they all went home. Somebody slapped them on the back and said, "You run good today, John." And you say, "Yeah, I held out." And next week, it's over. And the crown that they got, it's gone. Let me tell you something. One day, we sing sometimes, "I'm going to wear a crown, don't we? I'm going to wear a crown. When that trumpet sounds, I'm going to wear a crown." Let me tell you something. You come by and see me about a million years from now, my crown will still be good. You come by and see these people here about a million years from now, their crown will still be good. It'll still be there. It won't be diminished. It won't be wilted. It won't be taken away. It won't be anything, my brothers and sisters. But the idea is, and I hate this, that children aren't necessarily taught to win nowadays. I'm going to tell you something. I wouldn't want you playing on my team if you didn't want to make a touchdown. Amen? I wouldn't want you playing on my team if I was a coach if you didn't want to make all the touchdowns that you could make. I wouldn't want you playing on my team if you didn't run as fast as you could run and run for the finish line and win. All of us run, he says. All of us run. But one receiveth the prize. Who is that one? That's the one that mastered his body and put it under subjection. That's the one who didn't stop like the hare did by the side of the road and watch the tortoise passing by as he slept. Wasn't that one, my friend? If you're going to win, you're going to have to run. Jesus said, "They that endure to halfway mark." Is that what he said? No, what did he say? To the win? To the end. "They that endure to the end, the same shall be saved." My brothers and sisters, just any old way won't do it. Just, you're going to have to start. You can't get there if you don't start. And you're going to have to run. You can't get there if you don't run. You're going to have to fight the enemy. You can't get there until you do and unless you do. But my friend, in the end, the one that receives the prize will be the one that crosses the finish line. You have yet to watch a Kentucky Derby and they bring out that great big thing of roses. You have yet to see them put that on a horse that didn't finish the race. You have yet to see somebody receive a Super Bowl ring that did not finish the season and the game. My brothers and sisters, do we want to make heaven our home? Amen. Then let's strive for the mastery. We're in it for the long haul. We're in it to win. We're in it to cross the finish line. It may not be the temperature you want it to be. You may not have the audience you want to have. But I want to tell you something. If you're running in this race for people to look after you, you got the wrong idea anyway. You're running. We used to sing, Robert Lawson used to sing this a lot. I'm running for my life in this army of the Lord. And my brothers and sisters, that's where we are. I'm sorry this morning that I'm not strong enough to be in the presence of the pulpit like I'd like to be. But I can tell you the words that I have told you this morning are true and faithful, and they are the word of God. Amen. Father God, we thank you this morning for the greatness of God. We thank you for the hope of salvation and the joy of knowing our Lord. And Father, I thank you that you've made it possible by sending us the written word of God, the Holy Bible, by giving us the Holy Ghost to live in our life. Father, you've made it possible for us to make this run successful, for us to cross the finish line, and to us to finish with glory and power. Father, we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.